welcome to the Shepherd Thoughts Podcast, an audio resource that encourages biblical thinking for biblical living as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd. For more episodes and other helpful resources online, visit shepherdthoughts.com. And now, here's your host, Pastor Thomas Overmiller.
Welcome to Shepherd Thoughts. This is episode 183. Pastor Thomas Overmiller with you. And I happen to be doing this episode on March 20th, which is, well, it's a couple of things right now. It's one of my son's birthdays. My son James turns 7 years old today, and we'll be celebrating his birthday tomorrow. That's what happens every year on March 20th. We celebrate my son James's birthday. Another thing is going on today as well, and technically it happened just about an hour ago. That is, on March 20th, 2019, we experienced springtime, or the spring equinox. I want to talk about that for just a minute here as we dive into this subject and into a new season this year here in the Northern Hemisphere. I want to talk about a Christian perspective on springtime and the seasons. And certainly so much could be said. We can't talk about everything there is to discuss. I want to introduce you to some thoughts, though. First, some background. Each year, spring begins on either March 19, 20, or 21, one of those 3 days. Then autumn begins 6 months later. The start to both of these seasons is called an equinox. That's a Latin word that means equal night. On both these days, daylight and nighttime occur for equal lengths of time, so equal night. What's more, when the spring equinox occurs in the Northern Hemisphere, at the same time, the autumn equinox occurs in the Southern Hemisphere, and vice versa. Our two other seasons, summer and winter, begin with a solstice. On these days, at noon, the sun is at its highest or lowest point in the sky. This marks the longest and shortest lengths of daylight each year. And so when summertime, the summer solstice occurs, that's the longest stretch of daylight in a day in the course of a year. On the winter solstice, that's when daylight is at its shortest. And then, of course, at the equinoxes, you have equal time given to day and night. These seasons, marked by the movement of the sun, moon, and stars, they're more than just an arbitrary event or a scientific or natural phenomenon. They remind us something very important, that God placed them in the solar system for this purpose. Genesis 1:14 says, "Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years." Psalm 104 verse 19 says, "He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knows it's going down." These are not arbitrary events. Like a most reliable clock, though much grander, God designed these seasons to occur for as long as the earth remains. He is the one who created the seasons. Psalm 74:17 says, "You have set all the borders of the earth. You have made summer and winter." This truth about the seasons, sending the day and night and sending the rain and so forth, was especially important for the nation of Israel to recognize after they had finally settled into their land under Joshua. In Egypt, they had benefited from the prolific Nile River, which independently, by itself, sustained an expansive irrigation system. They didn't necessarily rely on rain in Egypt back in those days, because the Nile River provided such a deluge of water, and then each year it would flood the banks and provide a surplus of water, that they needed no rain, but Palestine was different. Though Palestine had the potential to be an incredibly lush, vibrant place, it differed greatly from Egypt because it depended entirely upon rainfall from the sky. the Nile River sustained Egypt, but rain from heaven sustained Palestine. Deuteronomy chapter 11 is a very fascinating chapter. In fact, from chapter 11, verses 10 through 17, you discover some very important things. God points out to the nation of Israel, just before they entered into the promised land, that they would not have a Nile River. They would have to rely upon rain from heaven. In this passage, God promised to provide Israel with the seasonal rains they needed. In doing so, he required the Israelites to remain obedient to his instructions and relying on his care. If they turned away from him to follow other gods, then he would withhold the seasonal rains from them with dire consequences. After centuries of patient care and provision, the Lord sadly reported that Israel had failed to fear him, even though he was the one who had sent them the regular seasonal rains. Jeremiah 5:24 says, "They do not say in their heart, 'Let us now fear the Lord our God, who gives rain, both the former and the latter, in its season. He reserves for us the appointed weeks of the harvest.'" They had chosen a defiant and rebellious mindset rather than an obedient and reliant one. Thankfully, we are not governed by the Mosaic Covenant as Israel, receiving seasonal rains only when our nation is following God. In fact, Jesus points out that it is the benevolent and gracious character of God to provide daylight and rain for evil and unjust people, just as he does for those who are good and just. Matthew 5:45 says, "He makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." This is not a recent phenomenon. In a sermon to the pagan idolatrous city of Lystra, Paul also pointed out that God has been doing this from the beginning of the world. Acts 14:15-17 says, "Men, why are you doing these things? Why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them, who, in bygone generations, allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness in that he did good, gave us, the nations of the world, rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." Wow, God has been good to the nations of the world for as long as time has existed. Well, King Solomon points to springtime as an especially joyous occasion. Not only is it a time in which God shows himself to be the giver of all our food and gladness, it also follows a long and cold, dark, and wet winter. Song of Solomon 2:11 says, "For lo, the winter is past." Springtime welcomes a vibrant display of flowers with their fragrant smells and promises fresh fruit for times of enjoyment. Song of Solomon 2:12-13 again says, "The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth her green figs. The vines with the tender grapes give a good smell." Well, what's the conclusion of that? Against this beautiful backdrop, Song of Solomon goes on to say that this time provides an ideal time for romantic love. He says, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and let's come away." On the first day of spring, you may not feel the warm rays of sunlight peeking through lush green trees quite yet. You may not smell the scent of aromatic flowers immediately or hear the playful chirps and melodious songs of the birds who are building their nests. You may not feel all of the same romantic feelings that we read about in Song of Solomon just yet. But rest assured, the rain is coming the sunlight will increase, and the flowers are also going to grow, whether we deserve it or not. That's the most remarkable part. So how should a Christian respond to springtime? How should we respond to God's faithful provision and patience with us this spring? First, remember to praise God for the rain that falls and the grass that grows. Do not take these things for granted, and certainly don't complain when they occur, even if the rain gets you wet and the grass makes you get out the mower. Second, we should allow gladness to spring up in our hearts once again. Perhaps through the winter your heart has grown cold towards God or towards the people in your life. Renew your commitment to rely on God, who provides for you abundantly, and rekindle your love for those people who are closest to you. As daylight increases, rains fall, and flowers grow again, may your heart for God, your Creator and Sustainer, flourish like never before. God bless you.
This has been another edition of the Shepherd Thoughts Podcast. For more episodes and other helpful resources online, visit shepherdthoughts.com. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ enable you to devote your heart and mind to biblical thinking for biblical living. Thank you for listening.